like to suggest to show you the contrast between the Vilna Gaon's presentation of the Yetzer Hara and several others, particularly Reb Shamshon Paul Hirsch. I thought that would be very interesting. So we begin with one of the most famous pieces in the Gra, which is quoted by quite a number of his Talmidim and Sfarim subsequently, and that is the Gra about Moshcheyu LeBeis HaMedrash. So, the Vilna Gaon, as is well known, I don't know that he's the first person to do that, but he has a very fundamental understanding that there are two different, basically, because sometimes he says three, but two different kinds of Yetzer Hara. And he calls one of them the Ta'avoni, from the word to desire, and the other one he calls the Ka'asoni, from the word Ka'as, which in his instance doesn't really mean anger, but rather the desire for power. And included in the desire for power is the desire for money and the desire for kavod. It's very interesting that the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, this is something of a digression, but it's important. The Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Gimel, when he speaks about the importance of anivus, the midah of anova, that the mayim are yored mimokam gavoa lemokam namuch in a madron, so too, Torah is only found amongst people who are humble. So the Rambam there speaks about a person who has dreams or imagines that he will be kind of Torah im ha'osher v'hakavod ka'achas. And then he starts speaking about anova. And it doesn't seem to be, it's like a non sequitur, because the first point is that if you want to be achieving great heights in Torah, then you have to focus on it exclusively. It becomes your master to a fault. So you cannot imagine that you're going to be doing many things at once, and the desire to make money can sometimes preoccupy you to such an extent that you'll never even have time to learn anything at all. Kal v'chomer ben b'no shel kal v'chomer to be zoche to the midah of Keser Torah, which he describes in the third perek. But that doesn't seem to have anything to do with the inyan of anova, and that anova is a fundamental requirement in the acquisition of Torah as well. But the secret, on the words of the Rambam, ima oisha v'hakovod ka'achas. And that gets me to the concept of ka'asoni, as the Rambam describes the inyan in Talmud Torah, so I would use that idea, b'nogeya the certain the Yetzer Hara for the Vilna Gaon. Namely, that ultimately the desire for money starts out with ta'avoni. It means, in other words, money is a tool or an instrument to satisfy your wishes, to fulfill your needs. If the person follows the prescription of the Torah, then the prescription of the Torah, of course, is pas ba melech tochal, mayim ba mesura tishte, al oretz tishan, chaye tzar tichye, uva Torah ata omel. So therefore, you don't really need very much. And as the Mesilas Yesharim also points out in his own way, the things that really matter are almost always for free. So that if you really want to, you don't need all that much. But a person has a bigger appetite, so he's going to want more. He's going to want a big house because he likes looking at an atrium in his living room, and he wants to have very fancy foods. He likes to go out and eat at restaurants. He wants a very beautiful car because it has a fantastic stereo. I don't know. All the things that his taiva would want. But then there comes a point where that's already fulfilled. So the person has his millions. Why does he continue? Why does he go beyond that? Why does he need 100 million or half a billion or $1 billion? The answer invariably is kavod. So I always point out that I used to travel. I haven't seen it lately for a couple of years, but I've been traveling on the FDR Drive coming from Brooklyn for 30 years. And every time I travel, I see for dozens of years, until recently, there's this beautiful yacht, and it's always moored. It's always docked. It's always there, every single day. Now, it's a peculiar thing that a boat should not go anywhere. I mean, it is. I mean, you know. But even more peculiar is that, well, today it's de rigueur that every yacht has to have a helicopter. It's like, you know, like a car has you know, adjustable seating or something. Every yacht has to have a helicopter, or, you know, or electric windows. You have to have a helicopter, I mean, because otherwise, who are you? You're just an owner of a yacht. You're a nobody. So the yachts have to have helicopters today, as a matter of course. But in those days, 25 years ago, this was a very big chiddush. I was always wondering, what does a person need a helicopter if the yacht's not going out anywhere? It's like, that's like a double kal vachomer, you know. The kasha becomes even more. And then I realized that I'm being foolish. This is the best way to spend your money. You have a yacht, you have a helicopter, and tens of thousands of people who are inevitably caught in traffic and going very slowly have a chance to see how rich you are. And that's all that matters after a point. And that's Trump. It's not a political statement. It's just the Trump before the presidency. And that is all those gevirim adirim who put their names all over the place and who sponsor everything and who go to all the fashion shows and so on and so forth. You buy a pair of shoes for $10,000, you're not making a couture statement. You're not making a fashion statement. You're making a statement of you have arrived because you can do something that nobody else can do. And therefore, the Rambam saw that the impetus to achieve money after point X, where you've satisfied your ta'avoni, is the ka'asoni. Is the desire for power, which is the desire for covet, desire for prominence. According to the Vilna Gaon, of course, that desire can also sometimes become very violent, and that's why it's called ka'asoni, because you can trample on people on your way up the ladder, and you can destroy people's lives if you're a king, and so on and so forth, because you want to increase your empire. So the ka'asoni is always associated with lo sirtzach, whereas the ta'avoni is associated with lo sinof. Because ultimately, that kind of taiva, which is the taiva of the flesh, is expressed most in the taiva of arayis. So lo sirtzach and lo sinof, also associated with Esav and Yishmael, is the ka'asoni ta'avoni concept of Yetzer Hara, as the Vilna Gaon describes. And that explains, getting back to the Rambam, why the Rambam suddenly goes into the inyan of anova. Because the Rambam is saying, well, it's exactly that. The whole notion of acquiring after a point where you no longer need it, even if your desires are extravagant, there comes a point where you, and I always say that you can build a mansion, but you have to live there. So what if you have three mansions? What do you do? Or you know, you can fly in a plane and it could be a private jet, but what if you have four of them? And what happens if you have a house that has 27 bathrooms, unless you're really sick? And that's a problem in its own right. You don't need more than two. If you have a large family, maybe three or four. Most of these people don't even have any children. And if they have, they have one or two and a dog. And the dog has its own facility for sure. So Lemaisa, wherever you are, Lemaisa, you don't need any of this. So why do you have it? The Torah says, because I have a house that has 14 bathrooms. How many bathrooms do you have? And that's the point. So according to the Rambam, that's gaiva. So the Rambam segues beautifully, shelo yikne ma'oshev ha'kavod ka'achas, and then he speaks about divrei Torah are not except the derech anova. It's beautiful. It mamish flows perfectly, just like the water. So the Vilna Gaon, in one of these many instances, and if you're interested, you know, I can provide my Talmidim with the Makaros, so you can get it by email or whatever. But I wanted to read one particular gra that is probably the most famous of all. Yeah. Pasuk Imra'ev Sonacho Hachileu Lecha. The very famous pasuk in general, amongst Eden, even amongst non-Jews. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. And then the pasuk would sound like right at the beginning that this is an altruistic, generous concept, which turn the other cheek type of thing. But then it says Ki Gecholim Atocho Te'al Rosho. Because by doing that, you're actually pouring hot burning coals on his head, which doesn't sound so friendly at all. Right. So the Vilna Gaon says V'ha Inyan. Now, this word V'ha Inyan found many, many times, almost in every piece of Gra and Mishlei. And what he means is that Mishlei has a mashal. It often has its own nimshal. Like Kigecholim Atachot HaRosho explains why Imroev Sanacha. But the Vilna Gaon looks at the entire pasuk, at every pasuk, as a mashal for something outside of the pasuk. And most of the time, especially in certain sections of Mishlei, it's associated with Torah learning. So here he wants to tell you, what is the inyan Imroev Sanacha Hachilei Olechem? Who's the sone? What's the lechem? What are we talking about? And what does the Kigecholim Atachote Al Rosho mean? So he said, "Va'inyon Shkoy Al Yetzah Harash Nikra Sone." Kama Sh'amru B'Gemara. Gemara tells us that one of the many names of the Yetzah Hara, Gemara in Sukkah and elsewhere, is Sone. He's your enemy. It's a very, very important point, by the way. B'Nogeya, the comparison to Reb Shamshon Fal Hirsch later on. The Yetzah Hara is the enemy. Va'amru. In Paga Becham Menuval Zeh, Menuval is a very nasty attribution also. You don't like him. He's disgusting. In Paga Becham Menuval, he's corrupt. He's a criminal. What do you do? What is the famous statement of Chazal? In Paga Becham Menuval Zeh, Moshcheyu Lebeis HaMedrash. Im Evan Hu Mimuach, Vim Barzel Hu Mitzpot Seitz. If it's a stone, even as hard as a stone, he will melt away. If he is Barzel, he will splinter. He will explode into little pieces of shrapnel. Bainu. So the Gaon explains in Yivga Bacham Menuval Shu Ayetzohara Verotze Lahatos Osecha Minatora Shelo Tilmat Klal Moshcheyu LeBeis HaMedrash. So take him into the Beis HaMedrash. Now everyone else who learns this Chazal says, run into the Beis HaMedrash, and the Torah learning will help you, because Torah Megino Matzila, right? In other words, so the question, of course, that the Vilna Gaon is going to ask is, then why does it say Moshcheyu LeBeis HaMedrash? Because if you want to leave him outside the door of the Beis HaMedrash, by saving yourself and escaping to a citadel, a fortress of tranquility and peace from the Yetzer Hara, if this is going to be your protection, then you don't take him with you. So what's the pshat moshcheihu lebeis hamedrash? That's his kasha. So what is the answer? What is the answer? He answers that moshcheihu lebeis hamedrash means no, take him into the beis hamedrash with you. But what does that mean? It means use the yetzer hara to enter the beis medrash shelo lishma. And then, of course, what's the principle? Mitoch. Shalom lishma, bo lishma. Very famous gra. So the Gaon says, let me read it to you inside. This is the Bir Mishlei Agra. Perek chof hei, posuk chof aleph. Mashcheyu lebeis hamedrash ki im ha'odom yaschil lumo tekef lishma. If he tries, in other words, to go for broke, and he has this Yetzirah hounding him, but he's decided that he's going to learn lishma no matter what. Lo yaniach lo. The Yetzer Hara will win. He will overcome him, he will overwhelm him, and he will not be able to do it at all. Ach, so what's the Yetzer? Yaschil shalo lishma. Umitoch shalo lishma, bo lishma. V'zehu moshcheihu gam kein lebeis hamedrash. Sheyiye imcha. You see, mitoch the explanation what his kasha was. What does it mean, moshcheihu? He says, no, adarabah, sheyiye imcha. V'hainu, what does it mean that you take the Yetzer Hara with you? That he is part of your learning. How is he part of your learning? Shetilmot shalolishma. You know very well that Tosus already, another Rishonim, and this is an ancient discussion, is what does it mean to learn shalolishma? So of course, to make people miserable, to hurt people, to take advantage of people, was never suggested for a moment. Shalolishma means simply that you have, and on the other hand, it also does not mean that you're learning for enjoyment, as the Hakdama to the Eglei Tal says very explicitly, and so do many others. But learning for enjoyment, if you enjoy the learning that you do, adarabba va'adarabba. You're not supposed to stop learning if you don't enjoy it. There are parts of learning that are not particularly exciting to certain people, maybe to most people, but you have to learn it anyhow. Torah v'lilmad ani tzarich, no matter what. But that the geshmak, the enjoyment, the taste, that's why Torah is compared to dvash, Torah is compared to cholov, etc., etc. Torah is not only compared to mayim, it's compared to yayim and dvash and cholov for those reasons. So you obviously can learn for the sake of enjoying it, but shalol lishma is in between those two. It's not lekanter, and it certainly allows a learning for your enjoyment. In other words, that you have hana in the learning. What it means is you're learning because you like that other people see that you're learning. You're learning because maybe your father-in-law will continue his support all the time that you're learning, so why should you stop? It's easier that way than going out to work. You're learning because it gives you covered. You're learning because you can sit in the Mizrach Vant. You're learning Amanas. What does the Chazal say? Lo yilmud adam amanashe kari rebi amasheyeh zakim v'yoshev yeshiva ela lamod me'ahava v'sof hakavod lovo. So that's shalol lishma. So sometimes you need that shalol lishma, because then the Yetzer Hara feels that he has a piece of the action. Which is, by the way, a fundamental yesod in Yiddishkeit in general, and especially in Sifrei Kabbalah, that the Satan has to be appeased. The most famous example of this, of course, is the Ramban on, anybody know? Soyer la'azazel. The Ramban in Chumash argues that the Soyer is a matana to the Sitra Achra. And he asked the question, doesn't that smack of Avodah Zarah? What are you're making a kind of a sacrifice to Avodah Zarah? Sarev Amishtalech has dine carbon too in many ways, even though it's thrown over the cliff. Eretz Gzeira, but it does have dinim of carbon. What kind of a carbon is it to the Sitra Achra, to the nether forces, to the evil of the world? So he says, Marshal Mahadov Adoyma, you invite the Melech to a party in your house, and he comes, and then he says, give this and this servant this portion. So the fact that you give that portion, you're fulfilling the Ritzon HaMelech, you're not serving that person. So that's what the Ramban says. Why are we giving anything to the soil Azazel? Why are we giving anything La'azazel? There's another example of that. The Arla of the Bris Milah. The Arla of the Bris Milah is given, put into the earth. Why is it put into earth? Because the Pasuk says, Nachash Afar Lachmo. Nachash, another term, like Sone, the Sitra Achra to the Satan, etc. And Nachash Afar Lachmo, that's what he enjoys. We give him the Arla because that is his caviar, that's his filet mignon, you understand? This is his fancy food, the Arla, because of what the Arla represents. The same thing is true, by the way, of Mayim Acharonim, as it's brought down in the number of Sfarim. You give the Sitra Achra, Mayim Acharonim. What's the common denominator of all of this? You have a Su'uda that's a Maisa Behema, really. And the Satan says, that's my business, that you should act like a Behema. Now the Goyim, in general, the world, if it's civilized, also sensitive to the fact that eating essentially is a Maisa Behema. Ha'ichu b'shuk doima l'kelev is kind of a universal idea, because, regardless of what precisely it means, but the sentiment. Why? Because the idea is that a human being is not supposed to be like a dog in the street, licking something off the floor that he just finds. So there's a whole restaurant concept, and there's ambiance, and there's music, and there's tapestries, and there's a fancy lighting, and waiters with white gloves, etc., etc., etc. This is all to create an environment that makes eating human. But we took it one step further. It doesn't have to be just human. It cannot be only just human. It has to be divine. You have to be spiritual about your achila. So there's brachas, there's washing, there's divrei Torah. If you don't have divrei Torah, ki lo eichu mishulchan mizivchei meisim, etc., etc. That is something that the Satan, the Sitra Achra, can't tolerate. So you give him something. You give him a matana to quiet him down, kivayocha. This idea by Arla, it's of course, you're weakening the koach hatavani, you're weakening the koach of the yetzer in the person to in the parasha of Arayis. And that, of course, is something that he can't tolerate, because again, you're taking the thing that is most bahami, and you're turning it into something spiritual and lofty. The bris that's crucial with Avraham Avinu is Salach Lefanai Vayesamim. So he can't tolerate it. He goes berserk. It's like a caged animal. So what do? You release the cage a little bit. You throw him a bone. And the bone that you throw him is the Arla. The bone that you throw him is the Mayim Achronim. The bone that you throw him, because now you're like Malachim Mamish on Yom Kippur, and that's terrible, because you gave up your bestiality entirely. You've completely, unwrapped yourself from anything that's we like Malachim, like the Rosh says in the end of Yuma, that one of the reasons that we are Yechefim, one of the reasons that we stand on my, because they don't have joints, so they can't bend, Ragleim Regal Yeshara, so we stand on Yom Kippur. We're Oseh Shalom, because Oseh Shalom Bim Raimov, so the Sima Shalom Ben Ishlariyeu. They don't eat, they don't drink. This is all to be like Malachim. That's a Pirkei de Rebbe Lezer that he quotes. So when we are like Malachim, he gets crazy. So what do? We throw him a bone. What is the bone? The Soya Mishtaleach. So that idea sees the Satan as a mortal enemy, and particularly in the Koyach HaTa'avoni. So getting back to the Gra says that this Shelo Lishma, which is not the terrible Shelo Lishma, which is forbidden, but the Shelo Lishma that is just simply not right. You shouldn't learn for those reasons, but that's how you start, and it's recommended if a person feels that his Yetzirah is whispering into his ear, don't learn at all. Don't learn. So Mashcheyu, take him with you into the Beis HaMedrash, v'hainu shetilmot Shelo Lishma, u'memeilo yizbatel, ki b'toch Shelo Lishma bo Lishma. Mikol Shkein, in this particular instance, it's even better, because normally Shelo Lishma is not so nice. If you have no Breira, but here, his whole Shelo Lishma is to outsmart the Yetzirah. And this is also a very interesting concept. If he's your enemy, you have to outwit him. So you're in mortal combat. You have to figure out that move when he's not ready that completely knocks him out. Mikol shkein shekavanos l'shem shamayim. V'gamhu, and this is v'gamhu eino rotze be'emes afilu ba'ashalo lishma. What he's trying to say is, and don't feel that you gave in that much, because in the end, you're schlepping him to the Beis Medrash, but he really is not so excited about the Shelo Lishma either. He looks around and says, where am I? Wait a minute, this is a Beis Medrash. What happened? So you see the antagonism is very, very evident from the whole approach to this terrible thing called the Yetzirah. V'amru shamim even hu nimuach im barzel hu mispotzeitz. So he says, why the double, the Vilna Gaon, throughout any of his writings, has to account for every single word and phrase, not only in Tanakh, but also in the Divrei Chazal. So if Chazal say, if it's this, it's this, and if it's that, it's that, he has to explain what's the difference between the story of Evan and what's the difference the story of Barzel. Why both of them? You made the point, you'll get rid of him. He will disintegrate, he will become completely dissolved. Liquidated, as they say. Im Evan hu minumuach, he says, Shenemar, Avonim shachakumayim. Im Barzel mispotzeit, Shalem halakot dvorah ke'eshnu mashem. Vahainu, and here we go. Sheshnei mina yetzahara hein. Kmo she'omarnu lamala, which the Gaon has said many times lamala, because this is already Perikov Hey, just towards the end of Mishlei. Hatavoni vekasoni. Vehein yomin usmol mayim ve'esh. This is the typical of the Vilna Gaon, constantly making association after association, grouping things in categories. Why it's yomin usmol, I don't have time now to discuss. Why it's mayim ve'esh? Well, maybe because the esh is the fire that's burning inside of you is usually associated with taiva, and the cool-headed, the desire to outwit people, to ruin them, is associated with mayim. But kenegdom nikra atorah gam kein eish umayim, which is koy dvara ke eish, and koy called some luchulamayim. And then he says, what's that? He says, that's halachas va'agodas. Va'agodas nikru mayim, shemoyshech libo shaladam kamayim. Right? And these are in Yoni Musar. Shemizeh yishaber yetzahara shel. So what would we have expected? If mayim associated with kasoni, No. The agadas are necessary. Shemizeh yeshaber yetzahor shel hatayvus. So there goes my attempt to make an association. I mean, I knew this before, but there goes my attempt at making an association that mayim is dafka the kasani. He has it the other way around. I guess if you're hot-headed enough, you can kill somebody. For taivas, you don't end up killing somebody. It's only like mayim. If you see a Talmud Chacham that's kayes, it's because the Torah inside of him is fomenting a great fire. Now, listen to this. Because mitpotzeitz, like a grenade that explodes or something that simply bursts apart, it happens in an instant. Mayim can erode the stone, but it takes a very long time, like the story with Rabbi Akiva, that he saw a hole that was in the stone, and who knows how long it happened, but if it can happen, then he can learn Torah. So he writes, it's very hard to break this particular yetzer. V'nikra ha'tavoni even shumitamtem libo shel adam. V'imbarzel hu mispotzeitz me'esh hu ha'ka'asoni. Ki ha'ka'asoni noach l'shovro min ha'tavoni mipnei she'eino nitzrach kol kach. V'lochein yispotzeitz tekef. V'zehu im roev so'na'acho shuhu ha'yetzo hara. Im hu roev shuhu ha'ka'asoni achileo lechem shuhu ha'lochos. And that's how he explains Moshcheyu LeBeis HaMedrash, that you should bring them into the Beis Medrash with Toshal Olishma. Why is it that the Tavoni, and the Kasoni are so different? The answer is because even though in animals both really exist, but the kasani is harder to find. You know, you have a shorsha nagach or something like that. Most of the time, animals work by the instincts that are taifa. Usually, even if they are feral and they're wild, they're going to attack you, usually for food. Sometimes because they feel endangered or their offspring are endangered. But bederach klal, stam to go out and aggrandize themselves. You have various animals, you have all kinds of stories about, you know, we know a lot more about animals today and how they have social structures and even aspects of language. And of course, there are a lot of people who want to say so. We're just a little bit more advanced on the scale of those animals. And that's a very dangerous thought, which of course is ultimately the height of apikursis. But the idea still remains that there are animals that have the koach ha-kasani in them, in the sense that we understand it, but you still don't have too many animals that want to build a house that has 14 bathrooms. So the koach ha-kasani, it's very fascinating. You can convince a person, the right time, the right frame of mind, the right Rebbe, the right piece of Torah, that all of this is hevel. You can mamish convince him that it's hevel. You can't convince a Baal Taiva that the Taiva is hevel. You have to convince him that it's wrong, that it's wasteful, that you're giving up things of greater significance as a result, that it's going to be metamtim the lave. It's going to turn your lave into heaven. You won't be able to have the right kind of feelings. You won't be able to daven. You won't be able to cry. You won't be able to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But fundamentally, what do you have to fight? You have to fight a desire for pleasure, a desire for the person to give up his addiction. Because already the body has a craving that is very, very, very difficult to challenge. So that's the even that needs the nimuach of Torah. And that's why that kind of challenge, sheva yipol tzadik v'kom. Because you can fall and fight and fall and fight and fall and fight. And maybe it's a struggle for an entire person's life. Rather interesting, this is the tkufa of what's called shevavim. Shevavim is the Rosh Hashanah for the parashios of this tkufa. Shmoyz v'erebo v'shalach yisro mishpatim. When it's an Hebrew year, they call it shevavim tat, trumat tzadik. But this idea of shevavim is exactly this nekuda. It's to protect and prevent Yisurim and Averis, usually of Otzar Zera Levatola and Shmiras Habris and so on and so forth. And there's a tremendous amount, especially by Hasidim and Balei Kabbalah, that's put into Shoivavim. The Litvisher, I guess they think that Torah Meginu Matzila solves every problem and therefore you don't have to bother with these things too much. But Shoivavim is a very complicated thing. I mean, full of all kinds of stuff, fasting and everything. But you know the story of Masya ben Choresh. Masya ben Choresh brought down in Talmud, Tanchuma, in Medrash Afkir, brought down the Yalkut Shimoni. So he was perfect. He was perfect in every possible way. Ben Adam Lamokum, Ben Adam Lachaveiro. Never did any Averos. So the Satan is upset. And here you have a very remarkable idea. That there is this entity, this malach, this koach, that is outside of the person. This isn't his instinct, this isn't his taiva, this isn't his desire. This is a force that comes from the outside. And it challenges the person by trying to create circumstances, that's the whole Eov, beginning is about that, that challenge the person in a way that makes it almost impossible for him to respond correctly. It's a nisayon of nisyonos. It's not a natural nisayon, it's an artificial nisayon. So the Satan comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam and says, do you give me permission to test Masya ben Choresh? Masya ben Choresh was a Tana, he's mentioned in Pirkei Avos, he's also mentioned at the end of Yuma, with the Arba Chiluke Kapara. But Masya ben Choresh, this incredible tzaddik, his extraordinary koach, is that he never looks at a woman. So the Satan comes, and with permission from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is a fascinating thing. Why should HaKadosh Baruch Hu give him permission? And here, I think Rav Shamshon Fohush is helpful, we'll see in a moment. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, he gives him permission. And he appears as this beautiful woman, as beautiful as Naama, the daughter of Tuval Kain, the sister, I mean, of Tuval Kain, Achos Tuval Kain Naama. She's the wife of Noach. She's the most beautiful woman in the world. So the one that the Bnei Elohim lusted after. That's the look that he appears before her. She's extraordinarily beautiful. And he turns away. So he jumps around him and he faces him from the opposite direction. And whichever way he turns, it's hopeless. There she is. So he calls his Talmud, and he instructs his Talmud to bring him fire and nails, and he burns his eyes out. He burns out his own eyes. And what's really remarkable about this is that the Ribbono Shel Olam sends Raphael to heal him. I see he's anus, and he's as perfect as before, and he's proven his perfection. So now it's time to heal him. So Raphael comes, and he refuses. He doesn't want to be protected, doesn't want to be healed, because he's afraid that he'll be left unprotected. Now he can't see. If he gains back his sight, he doesn't know. Maybe he'll be tested again, maybe he will succumb. Until, says the Medrash, this is all part of the Medrash, until the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Ani Orev Lecha, Ribbono Shel Olam says he's the guarantee that he will not be tested in that way again, or he's a guarantee that he will always be able to withstand the test. And only after HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides that guarantee that is he maskin to be healed, and Raphael comes and restores his eyesight. An extraordinary medrash, an extraordinary story. But what you see in that story is that the Satan is given the koach to test the person, even if that natural instinct that we're talking about, whether it's the immediate and extremely fundamental instinct of the koach ha-ta'avoni, or the higher level instinct, which is easier to overcome, the koach ha-ka'asoni, but that is also inside of the person. It's my desires, my needs, my aggression, my desire for power and for money, and for covet. So we have this extraordinary concept of an outside force that is also challenging a person. we proceed now, before we get to Reb Shamshon of Fal Hirsch, and as I pointed out to you, the Gra looks upon the Yetzer Hara as a very negative force. This is a Mochama, and you have to fight. And it's not always easy to fight straight, head on. So you try to outwit him. That's part of the idea of Mashcheil Beis HaMedrash. Use it, use this kayach for, this kayach of the Yetzer, I mean, for the sake of Torah, and mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma. Bring him into the Beis HaMedrash. Okay. This idea of kayach ha-tavoni and kayach ha-kasoni, mentioned many, many times, and it's also mentioned by the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, like Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chover, also quite a number of times in his Svar. Reb Tzedek HaKohen. Reb Tzedek HaKohen points out, not in contradiction to the Gra, but it's just another building block in this whole concept, that if there is a Koyach HaTavoni and a Koyach HaKasoni, there is an understanding that the Ribbono Shel Olam built a person that way. So why did he do that? So according to Reb Tzadik and many, many others, it isn't merely so that the person should have a challenge, and by responding to the challenge, he grows, he becomes bigger than he was before. But rather, that those kochos themselves are necessary for the toiv that is in the world, and you cannot simply build a person without them. So he says as follows, for example, in Dover Tzedek, one of his many Svarim, Amud Kuf Lamed. Bina Yodua, ki yediyas ha-chochma hu mitzad cheshek v'taiva. He says, anybody that has curiosity, that has a desire to learn, that wants to acquire chochma, is already possessed of a taiva for chochma. It's a taiva concept. Ukemo shemuva b'medrash ha-ne'alam, heart of the Zayar, the gam lo-osid lo yizbatel yetzer hara. The ilav yetzer hara lo ishtaka chamidu d'oraisa. There would never be an appetite for Torah. There would never be a chemda for Torah. Valze amru barasi yetzer hara. The Gemara in Kedushin Aflamin on the Bay says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I created the yetzer hara. Barasi Torah tavlin lo. So that Reb Tzadik is worried about that, because we think that he created Yetzer Hara, and l'umaseh, how do you conquer the Yetzer Hara? The answer is Torah. Torah megina umatzila. But he says the word tavlin is spices. You cook with spices. You never cook spices. So how is it that the Torah is tavlin for the Yetzer Hara? Sounds like the Yetzer Hara remains, but the Torah is the spice that makes the Yetzer Hara work. It's that ingredient, you have a salt-free diet, has no tam, that's why it's so hard for people to keep to them. A little salt, and all of a sudden the whole thing tastes good. The Torah is the tavlin for that Yetzer Hara. So what's the pshat? Barasi Yetzer Hara, barasi Torah, tavlin lo. So he says, no, that's exactly, pirush mamish kmo tavlin. Shemetabel ha-maychol ad she'oisei ma'achol nase toiv miyoid. Moshe Amru Chazal, and then of course in his inimitable way of making allusions and references to all over the place, Reb Tzadik says, a pasuk in Bereishis, toiv miyoid, and what do Chazal say about toiv miyoid? Zeh yetzer hara, also zeh hamoves. Ki shom kol cheshkoi umavoyoi v'koyach ha-tavoni shebegufoi, b'toylodo lachshoik b'divrei toira. Ki be'emes, yesham taiva gedoylo v'cheshe godol, l'das oimek ha-chochma yishal ha-toira. V'oz nase mi-yetzer hara atzmoy toiv, shenikra gam kein yetzer. V'atza loymar, cheshek v'moach u'balev shalom. You'll notice an interesting thing. What about the koach ha-ka'ason? In other words, let's admit that you need this Yetzer. So they were mevatel the Yetzer for Avodah Zorah. They were not mevatel the Yetzer for Arayus, because when they tried to be mevatel the Yetzer for Arayus, so even the chickens stopped laying eggs, there was no period of Arivya, there's no taiva. The Torah is always Nimshala Li'isha for that reason. Because that's the idea, that you have a cheshek for her. And the Rambam, interestingly enough, at the end of Isurei Bi, I made this point in many shiurim and drushas, the Rambam, when he speaks about how you're supposed to, escape the clutches of your taiva for arayas, what happens if a person has irurim, what happens if a person is chasing after a woman, what should he do? So the Rambam says he should be mefana libo. He gives a bunch of eitzes, but he says the best eitz of all. The last halacha, perik chav beis halacha chavalev, is the last halacha of Isurei Bi'ah. V'chein yinoig li'ischachik min aschoik, u'min ashichrus, u'min divrei agovim. Divrei agovim are words or stories or pictures and so on and so forth that have to do in some way or another with women or with sex or with sexual activities. It basically the whole entertainment of today. She'elu garmim gedolim v'heim ma'alos shel arayos. These are the stepping stones to reach to the ultimate aveir of arayos. V'lo yeshiv, v'lo yisha, etc., etc. Gedola mikol zos. Besides all the other things, what you should stay away from and that you should not be without a wife. Gedola mikol zos amru yifana atzmo u'machshavto l'divrei Torah. V'yarchiv daitoi b'chochma. She'ein machsheves arayus misgaberes elo belev ponui min ha'chochma. Very simple. And the Rambam, as far as I am concerned, should have stopped right there. But he didn't. Because the Rambam made his point. The Vilna Gaon says, you're walking in the street, you see an isha, don't try fighting the Yetzirah, just shift him aside, start thinking and learning. Interesting idea. Interesting Yetzirah. Yifana libo, machsheves Taira, machsheves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, machsheves Kedusha. Fine, that's it. But the Rambam did not stop there. The last words are, u'b'chochma hu omer, ayeles ahovim vi'al aschein, dadeho yiravucha b'chol eis, ba'ahavosa tishge tomid. What does the Rambam want is clear as day. The Rambam says, you're looking at this woman, the solution is, look at the nicer woman, the prettier woman, the better woman, the more attractive woman, which is the Torah. It's an amazing thing. U'bechochmahu omer, ayeles ahovim, yalas chein. These are descriptions of beauty. These are descriptions of a woman, a beautiful woman. Tadeo yiravucha b'choleis, ba'avosa tishge tamid. You should be constantly busy, preoccupied, with ahavasa, the love for her. So Memela, she's the better woman. She's the prettier woman. Of course, when the animal instinct wants to do you in, it's very hard to be convinced of that. That's the problem. But that's the sod. So what I'm asking is, the koach ha'tavoni, you need it. And if you're able to sublimate it in that way, to turn it into a koach hataiva of Torah, you can become a tremendous Talmud Chacham, because you can't, a person's chasing after a woman, nothing's going to stop him. He's not even going to realize he's going over the cliff. If a person feels that way about learning Torah, he could become a tremendous Talmud Chacham. What about the koach ha-ka'asoni? Does the person have in the koach ha-ka'asoni a redeeming element? So Pashtus, the answer is no. Because learning for kavod is not right. It may be an intermediate step. It may be a way of schlepping the Yetzirah with you into the Beis Medrash so that you get into the Beis Medrash. Because otherwise it'll be too hard. If you aim for purity, you might not be able to even get off the ground. You might even be able to get to the first base, to the beginning. Never mind the finish line. But that's because you're stuck in a rut called the Yetzirah. But what if you could get rid of him completely? The Pashtus, the Koach HaKasani, is pure. It's not Kitoy. And interestingly enough, this Reb Tzadik doesn't say anything about that other Koach. Just speaks about Taiva, the Koach HaTavani. So is there a redeeming element? The Vilna Gaon just finished saying the piece that we learned before, that the Koach HaKa'asoni is compared to Eish, and the solution is Torah's Eish, and then he quotes a Chazal. In Roisa Talmud Chocham de Kamirtach, you see a Talmud Chocham that is Koes. It's the Torah that's making him Koes. There is apparently that concept. There's also a concept called Gaiva de Kedusha. There is a certain sense of Gaiva that comes from the fact that I belong to the Ama Nifcha. Gaiva that comes to the fact that I am Zoche to learn Torah. It's not a Gaiva that lords it over others. It's the kind of Gaiva that Rav Moshe Feinstein, one of Nikol Adam, was able to have. It's a certain sense of your authority, and it's a concept that you know who you are. And that's why Anova and Shiflus are not the same. And when it says Ma'od, Ma'od, Hevei Shval Ruach, they don't mean that you should feel like a piece of garbage, just that you allow people to treat you that way. Nafshi ka'ofra la'kol tiyah. But who you are, you have to know who you are. I remember that somebody who was there, he was the recipient of these words, and he repeated them to me. He was in an argument about some non-Torah issue, which was related to some social issue, whatever it was, local politics, or who knows. And he was fighting with Reb Moshe about something. And he was trying to make his point. And he was getting a little bit aggressive. And Reb Moshe stopped him, a little short Reb Moshe. And he said to him, do you know that the entire Kadur Haaretz reckons with my Psak Halacha? And that was the end of that. He was telling him, cease and desist. Know your place. Know who you're talking to. It was the Anuv of Mikol Adam. Anuv of Mikol Adam. I remember in the shiur, Rabbi Reichman and I, of the Rebbeim here at least, we used to go Erev Shabbos for many years to the shiur that he gave in the shiur of Tiferes Yerushalayim. Tiferes Yerushalayim served many purposes, that Beis Medrash, including the home with for those who didn't have a home, the homeless. They reeked from urine. And every once in a while, and they sat in the back, and they slept their way, they ate. Some people used to drop off, you know, the shirayim from breakfast or from this or from that. They would drink. Most of them were shikarim. These were Yidden who were really down and out, and I wouldn't be surprised if some of them weren't even Yidden. Who could tell? But they all made their way to the back of the Beis Medrash, and sometimes the stench was quite palpable. And in fact, some people used to come and ask Rav Moshe if we are allowed al pi halacha to have a shiur here. And he made everything away with his hand, and he basically said, this is their Beis Medrash as much as it is mine. It was his yeshiva. I mean, the Hanivus, I mean, I could give you 100 stories, but, you know, the policewoman who wanted to take a picture of him for her children or her grandchildren, and he says, sure. You see, Reb David, so Zayin Gesund, I mean, there's no presumptions, you know. He doesn't even wear a log beged like me, just a regular cut jacket. You know? And everybody comes to him with the most serious halachas, most serious shaiwas. And he's waiting online in front of 6 people, in front of him, I mean, to buy something in the store. It's hard to be masik. But this is a legacy. So the legacy of Anova doesn't have anything to do with understanding who you are, and you have to have that Areisu Kamir Techave. What is the ultimate model of that? It's interesting. Kisifsei Kohen Yishmeru Das V'Soyra Yivak Shumipil. So Shevet Levi and the Kohanim, Yoru Mishpatecho Liyakov V'Saros Chli Yisrael. And Kohanim HaKa'asan. Kohanim are the legacy of Pinchas, the legacy of fighting against those who made the Egel Hazav. The Kohanim are Kanoim, the Chashmonoim. That's the Koach HaKa'asan. There is indeed a tzad for the Koach HaKa'asani as well. Now, let me just finish with the words of Rav Shamshon Kohen. This piece, even though it's in Hebrew, and it was rendered very well, some of the translations are awful, and they really take the whole time out of it. This rendering is very good. The original German is even better. Remember once I came into the Rav, and the Rav was talking about Reb Shamshon of Fel Hirsch's German. And the Rav was a master of German, of course. It's cool for that he was in Berlin. But he was really waxing poetic about the Koichus Haloshen in German of Reb Shamshon of Fel Hirsch. But anyhow, this is in the Hebrew. And I'm just going to read a few sentences inside, but I want to give you the background. He wants to explain the words in the beginning in Parashas Bereishis when the Ribbon Shalom introduces the Yetzer Hara. Right? And the Pasuk says, La Pesach Chatos Roveitz. Ve'elecha teshukaso va'atotim shobo. And he focuses specifically on two words, roveitz and teshuka. And he points out something that is really fascinating. He says, na'ayin b'chol ha-mikros, let's look at any pasuk you want in Tanakh, where they use the word reish beis tzadik, roveitz. Like Yisira Chamor Sanacho to Roveitz Tachas Maso, right? Yisochar Chamor Gorem Roveitz Bein Hamish Besoyim. He says, Biyachas Le Baal Chai, when it speaks about an animal. Vine Shlosha Edre Tzon Rov Tzimalo. Vine Lo Nimtza Behem Af Echod Sheyaskir Po Al Ze Beho Ro'as Ma'arav. There's no antagonism waiting in ambush idea, that's roveitz. What word would we use in English? Crouching. So the animal is crouching because he's about to pounce on you. So he says, right, the lion crouches, the panther, the cheetah, the tiger, you get the point. There's no such pasuk where they use the word roveitz in that sense. Very remarkable. Remarkable idea. There's no such pasuk. Every time roveitz is used, it's used in a very bucolic, friendly way. The animal is simply resting. And that's what he says. It's important to him. You'll never find an exception. So he says, why in the world, if that's the case, should that particular word be used when the choice is many, many other words of aggression to describe this, the Yetzer Hara, to describe this force to try to undermine you and to ruin you? La Pesach Chatos Roveitz? It sounds like a purring kitten that settled themselves, or like a dog, you know, a lap dog that settled themselves on the porch, you know, they sit there and then they could sit there for hours. So that's the Yetzer, sitting out there, just kind of like enjoying a siesta. What's going on over here? That's question number one. V'chein ha'dover b'yachas l'teshuka. He says the word teshuka, v'elecha teshuka so, lo rak she'ein hitay v'sone. Elohim mitzayenes tomid ga'aguim na'alim. Kisufei hismasrus shel ava. Teshuka is a word that represents like the highest level of positive desire, where you really want and care to cleave to somebody. That talks about the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the desire of Hashem for Klal Yisrael. He says, besides all of my efforts to look at teshuka, you know, in a global sense, a few psukim ago, he says, it's so beautiful because he makes this argument, this presentation. He says, a few psukim ago, didn't we have that same word? Where did we have it? Ve'eli sheikh teshuka seich. So is that, that's bad? That the wife has a desire to be connected to her husband? Ve'eli sheikh teshuka seich v'hu yim shol boch. Pasuk zem mitayres hayachas ha'isha eloyish. I mean, until the feminists came along, it was a very positive pasuk. Hakavona bevada yeneno lematzav shel milchama masmedes. Kilu ha'isha oireves tamid le'ishu mevakeshes li'zgaber olav. That's not what's going on. Ela pasuk metayers gagueo shall isha oheves. She yearns for him. She pines for him. She needs him. Hamotzeis hashloma leetzem kiyuma, who is totally fulfilled in her very essence. Bis masrus nichnas l'sheifei saish, by accepting being absorbed under the desires of her husband. Ubekabolas hanhagas habal. The feminists would certainly not like this. She desires to be subsumed under her husband. She desires to be guided by her husband. So it's a positive statement. So why in the world should the very same word be used, benogeya, the yetzahara? So he says, the reason rovates is because may elov, the Yetzahar will never enter into your house. Ulam asid hu lasas beveischa kibetoch shalo, v'li osadon alecha. Yes, it's true. He can even become your master. Im his manta also a beischa, v'arachta lefanav shulchan. You have to open up the door and invite him in and make for him a nice table and make him feel a very welcome guest. Then he will be in your house and then he'll take over. But he's only rovates, he's only outside, and he's not trying to capture you. He's not looking for schemes to undercut you. It's your fault if you bring him in. And then he says, Yeser al kain, kol tishukoso lekach. Listen to this. What is his chuka? Sha'atot him shol bo v'tanhigoso. He turns the whole idea of the Yetzirah as the enemy completely around. He's your best friend. Pile ploy. Why is it? Because the whole idea is Hashem bara es korach hayetzer lo leman yishlot becha ela leman tishlot bo ata. And he says not only that, to overcome the Yetzirah does not mean to wipe him out, to completely destroy him, to kill him. Ela timshol bo the tanhigoso. You become his master and you lead him in the right direction. Zu kol tachliso v'zer kol yiudo. This is his destiny. Sha'a sha'atamosho b'yitzrecha harehu masig es yiudo. When is the Yetzirah happiest? This runs completely counter to what I started out with the Mayim Achronim and so on, that he'll go crazy unless you give him a bone. And the bone that you give him is the schmutz. It's the junk. It's the negative. He says, when is the Yetzirah happiest? When you have won. Because then he feels completely fulfilled. Feel like play. Alkeinu mishtokik lakach. Hein ein lucha techuna enoshis. He says, you don't have any human trait. Shehi tova o ra'a kesheila atzma. There's nothing totally right, totally wrong, totally pure, totally tamei. It's all how you use it. Hakol toli b'derech hanitzul hamusari, the way you take advantage of it. V'chein, bracha rabba yesh b'koach hayetzer, v'utzorech l'malas ha'odom. Ilu hatov ha'yotomid mosok v'hara mar l'olam, ha'ysa b'teilo kol malas ha'odom. He says the human being needs to negotiate the very, very subtle caverns of life, where there's meandering into the maze and out of the maze. Is this right? Is this wrong? Is this good? Is this bad? And making the right decisions each time is what makes the person the person. Adam hu kofui al pigzeiras hayeser lasis masim toivim. Ulam loy nivra adam ela limshal biyitzroi ulenatzilis koichoi bederach hanachayla. And this he goes on, but this is basically his yesod. Teshukas hayetzer lahasik es yiyudoi, toich kedei hishtabdus la'adam. He says, where do we find such an idea? And it's very fascinating because he quotes this chazal, the Vilna Gaon quotes the chazal. They don't say the same thing about that chazal at all. It's a very vague expression. The Gemara in Baba Basra Daf Tes Zayin, hayetzer yored meyes Hashem umufates ha'adam. Is yored umate va'ole umargiz. The Vilna Gaon understands this chazal as follows. He says, he makes believe he's your friend. He's going to give you goodies. He's going to make you feel good. And you get snared into that trap. Once you're ensnared, he takes your neshama, brings it up to Shemayim, and says, now you have to punish this person. In other words, he's your biggest enemy in disguise. Because not only is he messing you up in Olam Hazeh, so to speak, but he's taking your case to Olam Haba and ruining you there as well. The same apparent friend is the one who is actually the advocate for your destruction. That's how the Vilna Gaon understands this Chazal. That first he's Yored Min HaShamayim U'mat'eh, and he fools you, he tricks you from Toeh, right? Toeh Baderech. And he Ola, then he goes up to Shamayim, and what does he do? Margiz. He enrages the Ribbono Shel Olam against you. Ola U'margiz. That's the Vilna Gaon. How does the Shamshon Fol Hirsch see it? Hayetzer Yored Meis Hashem U'mefates HaAdam. U'mishaAdam Nichna LePituyei HaYetzer U'chozer V'Olo U'mastin Lifnei Hashem. Shekein Hu Lo Pito Es HaAdam L'man Yikon Alo L'man Yizgaber Olav V'Yimshol Bo Derech Eris. Deyazu Atzma Nemra Al Yedei Reb Simon Bebreishis Rabbo. He quotes another Chazal. What's he talking about? He says that the reason that the Satan goes up to Shamayim and is upset is because he's not fulfilled when he succeeds to undermine the person. When the person doesn't fight back, when the person does not respond by becoming a better person, a greater person, etc., the Satan feels unfulfilled because the Elecha Tshukasai V'ata Timshol Bo never happened. So he goes up to the Ribbono Shel Olam and complains about this person, not because he wants to destroy the person after he made his tzaris, like the Vilna Gaon says, but because he's upset that this person never gave him the chance to be fulfilled. It's like somebody was given a job, etc., etc., and then he doesn't let the person do the job. So he says, he goes to the bigger boss and he says, you know, you hired me and I'm sitting here and I'm twiddling my thumbs and he doesn't let me do anything. Kal v'chomer, if your purpose is not fulfilled and it goes against you. So the Satan is actually nirgaz, he's in kas on the person for not having arrived and risen to the occasion of fighting the Yetzer. Remarkable idea. And then he says that this is the pshat of the Lashon in Breishis Rabbah, right here, Al Asar, and these took him at the beginning of the it's Perik Chavbeis Pasuk Tezvav in Breishis Rabbah. In Bo Yitzrucha Lahashchikcha, the Yetzer wants to make you filled with desire. Samcheihu B'Divrei Torah. He wants to know, what is the Lashon Samcheihu? Should have said, Tifne L'Divrei Torah. Right? Whatever Lashon you want to use, you know, Ayala Sahabim V'Yala Scheim, whatever you want to say. But escape to Torah. What is the Samcheihu? You make him happy with Divrei Torah. How are you making him happy with Divrei Torah? On the contrary, he should be upset if you're learning Torah instead. And you don't succumb to him. So what's Samcheihu? So he says, that's the pshat. That Ve'lecha Teshukasa V'ata Timshol Bo, when you are able to overcome the Yetzer is fulfilled. It's an extraordinary concept. Really extraordinary. So that's what I wanted to tell you. But for now, it's enough. Shabbat Shalom.